Amen. All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. And we're going to talk about, we're going to add on to what we did last week. And to be honest with you this morning, I don't know if I can finish this morning or not. And when I mean finish this morning, I'm not talking about I'll be able to get through it. But I don't know if I'll be able to get through everything that I want to say this morning. And if that's the case, and if that's true, then we will address this again next Sunday till we do get through with it, because I don't believe God alleviates the burden or the ideas or the thought processes in which He's given me this morning or this week concerning this particular text. I don't know about you, but most every evangelist or preacher has at one time or the other gone to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and used that particular verse to win the lost to Christ. He talks about the going to somebody in the church, coming and open the door and letting him in, and talks about the abiding thing that he will do with them, and so on and so forth. And they've used it in an evangelistic way. And I think that's true, because I really believe the Laodicean church, mostly, basically, and almost totally, is unsaved people. That has nothing to do with the church, okay? The church is the believers of Jesus Christ in this assembly here, not only this assembly, but those all over the world. And God has chosen us to come together. That doesn't mean that there's not lost people in this church. There's even people that are members of congregations that are lost and never been saved. They've been told that this is a head knowledge was enough. I have a friend who drank a fifth of whiskey a day, and he used to tell me, he said, well, I believe all that stuff about Jesus. I'm bound to be saved. But the Bible says no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so what he's trying to say is that he had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. He didn't. His soul was not wrapped around the truths of God's holy word. And if that's true, then you're not born again. I don't care how religious you are. Think about this for a second. Who was Jesus the hardest on in the four Gospels? Who was Jesus the hardest on? The religious crowd. The crowd that said they had it all made and had it all together. Amen. We live in a society today. They don't want you to talk about sin. They don't want you to talk about things that affect their life. Just in generalities, talk about the circumstances. There's been two earthquakes down in Mexico of Reed. We've had one hurricane after the other come through and devastate even Texas, Florida, and so on and so forth. We've had all these things happening, and we're seeing, or we're forgetting the fact that God said when these things begin to happen, you're in the closing days. Now, I know the closing days was from when Jesus Christ went to heaven and left us here, the church, to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. The church is not for you to feel good and do good and all that stuff. The church is for you to evangelize. We have a lot of visitors here this morning. Praise God for that. You know what we need? We need more visitors, because more people need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. More people need to know that without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. I prayed last night to long hours in the night about, Lord, you know I can't do this morning. I mean, in the morning. You know that. You know why? Now, why are we in this scenario? Why do we come to this place all the time? Why do you do this to me? And like Jeremiah said, how long shall I preach to the people? And the Bible teaches us that God told him, as long as there be anybody, you're to preach the gospel. Until you die. You don't retire when you're... Listen, I'm 75 years old. Amen. I'm not going to tell you how old George is. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. There's no place for retirement. God has not told us we can quit on God. When you go on vacation, do you look for a good, sound church that you can go to and worship God on the Lord's Day? Well, no, we're on vacation. What's that got to do with anything? I tell you, it's got everything to do with that. It's what you are, not what you're doing, what you are. And what you are will come out in your doing. Amen. I heard a preacher one time preach on this message. Now, I'm not preaching on this morning, but he said, I'm going to preach to you this morning about doo-doo churches. And I thought, dear God, we're in the house of God. Do this, do that, do the other, do this, do this, and you'll be okay. That's not true. If what you really believe in your heart about the Lord Jesus and about salvation, it will turn out to be what you do. But you cannot do anything to get that blessed birth. You can't do it. You just have to come to Christ. And I'm going to talk about some stuff this morning. Somebody's going to say you're contradicting yourself. The Bible never contradicts itself. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, buy of me. Now, wait, salvation is free, Brother Billy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, if you look up that, buy is exchange. How do you buy something? Well, you go down to the store, you go down to Walmart, you're all familiar with that, and you take money in there, and you exchange that for something they got there that you want. Amen? That's an exchange, exchange process. So here we have the same parallel. In Isaiah chapter 55, 1, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to get it all in. Amen? In Isaiah 51, he said, "Ho, come unto me, you that thirst. Come unto me that you're hungry. Come on," and what does he say? "And buy of me." Buy of me. What are you talking about? Buy of me. He's talking about the very same thing he's talking about here in Revelations. You have to exchange some things with God. You say, what does that mean? You got to repent. You got to repent. Jesus came preaching repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Since that time, very few have preached repentance. You know what you got to do? You got to change your mind about some junk. You say, "Brother Billy, I don't like the way you're going. I don't like. I didn't ask you to like it. I'm not asking you to like it. I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. Don't blame me. I'm just the mailman. Don't blame me for what I will say here this morning. I've asked God to lead me by His precious Holy Spirit. Most people, the Spirit of God scare them to death. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to grow you in grace if you're a Christian. Amen. And you're sitting here where they sang, he did that. He did the announcements of the second song. So what? Come next Sunday, we may have an invitation before we start. So you can get right with God so you can hear what the preacher has to say. Amen? You say you're being ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm telling you that people have gotten to the place where if it's not done this way, or that way, or the other way, to please them. Now I'm here this morning, I'm not trying to please you. I want to please God. I just want to please God. You know, Brother George said that this morning. Listen, I want to set this little example out there for you, and you do with it as you please. All right? When the Lord told Abraham, next year at this time, your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. And Sarah standing in the wings there at the edge of the tent, Sarah laughed. And the Lord turned to Abraham and said to Abraham, why did she laugh? You say, what does that say? What does that mean anything? You're the head man. You're responsible, man. They may not listen to you. They may not abide with you. I heard the guy talk about one time. He said, the TV is ruining my family. And so he come home one day from a revival meeting and he went in the house and he took out the TVs and throwed them out in the backyard. The guy said, what happened? He said, my wife made me go out there and get them, bring them back to the house. Amen. Now I'm not trying to be funny. Okay? Everything in our society today is upside down. Everything is wrong. You know why President Trump got elected? He's more like us than he is them. You know who's against you? Them. They don't give a rip about you. You say, now come on, don't get political. I'm just telling you that if they had the same health plan we had, they'd fix it. If they had the same retirement as we have, I don't have one, but if they had the same retirement as we had, they'd fix it. They'd fix Medicare. They'd fix it. They don't care. They don't care because they're sitting up there on their throne doing whatever they want to do anytime they want to, and they tell you any lie that they want to tell you, and you accept it. Amen. Now, that was paid for by the Billy Barlow political establishment. Amen. So don't worry about a thing, okay? But I want to talk to you this morning about the Laodicean church. Now remember this, there's seven churches. I said this last week, some of you didn't get it, some of you didn't enjoy it, but the angel of the church is the pastor. I'm the honey. I'm the angel. The candlesticks is the churches. There's seven of them. He gave a message not to the church proper. He gave it to the angel. And the angel to lead that flock the way God wants him to do it. God never told Moses, now ask the people what they think. No, he told Moses what to say, and Moses led the people and showed the people what they were to do. And the picture of sin was elevated, but the snake was biting people. And they stood that thing up, and they said, all you got to do to live is look. And multitudes died, they would not look. They would not look. You know what they had to look at? Their sin. I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes. You've got to look at yourself. Quit looking at me. Quit looking at others. Quit looking at everybody and this dog, but look at yourself. And the only way to get any help from God is to look at yourself. And when you do that, God's going to bless in your life. So I'm going to hurry now. I'm hurrying. I'm in fast gear here. Amen. Okay, so let's look at verse 14, and we're going to read down through the remainder of this chapter. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea and write, these things saith Amen. By the way, I shouldn't have to do this, but there's many a place in this reading of the scriptures and the preaching of the word of God where you ought to just say, I just can't take it anymore. Amen. You know what amen does? We got visitors in here this morning. Okay? When you say amen, you're saying these visitors, we agree with him. We're all together on this thing. This is the truth. Amen. I don't like the truth sometimes, but it's still the truth. Amen. And we need to recognize this. It's important. Notice what he says here to the church of Laodicea. Write these things, saith the Amen. And the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Now watch me here. Some of you are not thinking about what I'm talking about right now. God knows. Just want to throw that biscuit out there. God knows thy works, that thou neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold nor hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Throw up would be a good word. In the country, we call it puke. And when I have to go to some of these big churches, I have to use throw up. Regurgitate. See, I bet you didn't think I knew some of that stuff. Amen. But out here, it's puke. Because thou hast said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee, there it is, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. There's a possibility that you could be rich. Amen. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Amen. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. You know what? If we could just see, if we could ever get you lost, if you are truly lost, if we get you lost where you understand that and you comprehend that, there wouldn't be a lot of problem getting you saved. We want to go through and say a bunch of words to God, by the way, who's not listening, because you haven't repented. You want to get through to God and you're lost? You need to tell God what He already knows about you. You need to say, I'm guilty. I need some help, Lord. Do something. Do something. Amen. And He will do something. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to change your life. You know what one thing you don't like? Change. I said, well, I'd like to do this, that, and the other. I don't like my wife telling me something I didn't originally think about. You say, why? She thinks she's smart and got it all together. No, I mean, you know how women are. Amen, you guys? And look at me. You guys, look at me. Watch me. You can say amen right there. She's not going to do nothing to you here. She may do something when you get home, but not here. Amen. He said that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I'm glad God doesn't quit on us because we're stupid. I'm so glad that God doesn't quit on us. Okay? He's zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, I've always thought about this verse because it's always been picked out of this text and preached many, many times, and what they preached was the truth. It was about a lost person to open his heart and let God come in and be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be saved by the grace of God. Then you can have communion with God, and then God will have communion with you. Amen. That's what this verse is saying. But notice it's attached to the Laodicean church. He doesn't say this anywhere else to these other churches. Every one of the churches except two, things that they were doing wrong. God's always going to address things that's wrong in your life. What destroys your life? What hurts your life? The things that you're doing wrong in your life. You need help from God. There's only two that God commended. He commended two of them. The Philadelphia church and the church at Smyrna, which suffered through all kinds of different things in their life as a church. Notice he said here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, there it is again, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to... Watch me now. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my father in his throne. What is he saying? What is he telling us? If we repent, if we let him come in, I believe church doors physically, these pictures of these churches happened way back 2,000 years ago and have all progressed all the way up through this present hour. So you can see some churches who fit into the Philadelphia category. You can see most churches are fitting into the Laodicean church. Just do whatever feels good to you. Just help yourself. Listen, for you visitors, we don't have no drinks in the church. You're not going to starve to death for a drink of water in an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you do, we're going to put you on a book of records where somebody died after they didn't have a drink of water for 2 hours. You say, why? It's a holy place. The blessed place. I already told you we don't care about how you feel. It's how we worship Him. We all should come to the place where we recognize there is a holy God, a supernatural God, that we've assembled together and we call ourselves worshiping together Him. What is worship? What is worship? Is it songs? Could be. Is it preaching? Could be. Is it a heart that's dedicated to God? Most likely. If you've come here with a purpose in your heart to give yourself over to Him and to worship Him in spirit and truth, you know what's going to happen? You'll be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. What is worship? Is it, woohoo! Woohoo! Wee-hee-hee! No, that ain't it. You say, what is it? It's that could be it. If you want to jump up and shout, help yourself. You ain't going to bother me a lick. Amen. I may stop preaching for a while, but I'm going to finish preaching, Patrick. I'm not going to go home until I finish preaching this morning. Until the Holy Ghost says, that's it, Brother Billy, sit down and shut up. Then I'm going to sit down and shut up. But what is worship? What is worship? Is it waving your hands? I heard a story about a man preaching a meeting, and he had his little grandson who was 4 years old. And his little grandson got to go with his grandpa all the time. His name was Paul. Amen. I like that name. And they were driving down the road, and his little grandson began to weep. And of course, his grandpa said, son, what's the matter? He said, Paul, I forgot my handkerchief. When all them guys are going crazy, you're leaving their handkerchief. I ain't got one. He said, well, don't worry about a thing, son. We'll stop and buy you one. Amen. I don't want to hinder anybody from worship, because when you see Him, and by the way, worship is how you see Him through your own concept, your own eyes. God's going to touch you things in your life that are either good, bad, or indifferent, as He did to this church. And He's going to tell you the answer to the problem, how to get through it, how to do this, how to do that. God is going to touch your life like it's never been touched before. You can only get that in the way that I'm talking about in the church. So don't bring your soda pops in Victory Baptist Church. Peanut butter crackers, they're out. The little chips, they're out. You say, why? It's a holy place. This is a blessed place. Now we go next door, help yourself. In fact, we're going to eat next door and have a good time together and fellowship together. And here, we had a 10-year-old little girl visiting our church. They're members now. If they come three times, we just take them in. Amen. She told her mother. Mother was carrying some pans or something in a little old deal on her shoulder. And she came through here to go to the car. We're sitting out here. And the little girl, as long as I live, I'll never forget this. The little girl said, Mother, did you not hear the pastor this morning? And all the simplicity. Do you ever listen to the pastor at all? Do you ever abide by the precious word of God? Do you ever want to just accept what he says? Well, listen to what he says. If you who overcome, he will grant you to sit with him where? On his throne. Now, do anybody in here feel like they deserve to sit on the throne with Jesus? Nope. You know what we deserve? I watched this week on a science channel. I watched that they're so concerned. You know, the most dangerous place on the face of the earth is Yellowstone National Forest. Most dangerous place. The molten lava and all that stuff is almost at the surface. And they say it's miles and miles down in the earth, a column. And that if it ever blows out, it'll be multitudes of times more than anything we've ever seen before. You know what that is? Hell is close. Hell is close. You say, what is the lake of fire? Molten heat. That's what it is, the lake of fire. The Bible talks about it. We're seeing that happen. Now, I like what the guy said. This is not likely to happen for 1,000 years or so. I like that. I'll be gone. You people will be left. Amen. But the key is this. There is, young people, a hell. There is a place that Jesus over and over and over and over again spoke about. He spoke it to religious people. He spoke it to people which he said, I wish you would open the door to your heart. I wish you would let me in the church. Remember, we're talking about 7 churches. He said, I wish you would open the door. Anybody, let me in. And I will come in and will sup with him. Then he says, he closes out by saying, he that hath the ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God, Spirit saith unto the churches. So, here's the thing. There's a vast contrast or comparison here with what we are and the condition that we're in and what he brings to us if we'll only accept him. Now, let me say something about this church. And wonder why he said hot and cold water, lukewarm water. Why did he use that illustration? Well, this Laodicean church was a very commercial city. It had many things that it had done. One of them was is that it had a water duct. They were almost impenetrable as far as enemies that could come against them, but they had no water there. So what they did was they piped water from an aqueduct through the ground over to them so they would have water. So this illustration here, these people knew exactly what he's talking about. And I want you to understand exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. So when he talks about coal, he's talking about the water straight out of the aqueduct. Did you know the one thing that identifies the Laodicean church more than anything else? To spiritual truths are cold as they can be. Then he said, hot. What is hot? Well, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? So if you're really sincere with God and you're hot, you have a hot heart for God, the Bible says you can ask God and he'll give you what you ask for. Now somebody said, well, I prayed and God didn't answer me and I ain't going to pray no more. Well, that's your problem. You know, you can't help stupid. I mean, that's just all I'm telling you. You say, you're calling me stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying if you reject the will of God, you're stupid. You're a fool. The Bible says that. I didn't take that upon myself. Amen. Although I'm likely to do it sometimes. Amen. But what I'm saying is, he uses this illustration. He said, hot, meaning fervency, it means the people of God are interested in the things of God and hungry for the things of God. You know why preachers don't preach more than they do? The people ain't hungry. Did you know, my wife every once in a while says, what do you want for dinner? I said, whatever you fix. She's a good cook. The only problem is nowadays, at our age, only time she cooks when the grandkids are coming. Amen. The grandkids eat all they can, take the rest home with them when they go. Amen. I mean, they come out of the house with brown paper bags in their arm. Amen. Now, you know ain't no more brown paper bags, but I'm saying they tote the rest of it home with them. My wife's a good cook. You say, what are you trying to get to? I'm trying to get to the thing. I don't care what she cooks, long as she cooks. Amen. You come to church, you say, well, Brother Billy, you ought to do this. Somebody said, when are you going to preach in the Psalms? I said, just as soon as the Holy Ghost tells me. Why are you preaching in Revelation? Because I believe that God burdened my heart to preach this particular message out of the book of Psalms. I mean, out of the book of Revelation. By the way, the word revelation is opening up a revelation. Somebody said, well, I can't understand Revelation. Have you read it? Have you studied it? Have you listened to it read? The Bible said he'll bless you if you'll listen to it or you'll read it for yourself. He'll bless you. You'll understand more and more about it if you'll just give God a chance. So this thing about cold water, by the way, these people were tremendously intelligent. They were tremendously effective in what they're doing. Can you imagine? You can't even imagine the technology in our country today. You know this thing that just happened about this company, what do you call it, when they bug it or get into it or something like this, they get into your personal stuff and all that stuff. Well, we have LifeLock, and we pay $100 a year for them to take care of stuff in case somebody wants to charge something to us. You might have to think about it. It's getting worse and worse. The technology is incomprehensible. Guess what? They put an alert on our computer. So I call them on the telephone. I can't work the computer. I can't ride a motorcycle. I can't work the computer. I mean, I try now and again. I get a few emails and whatever and all that stuff. So I called them. So what I get, an answer machine. Put in your password. I never had a password. I don't know what you're talking about, my password. You cannot talk to a representative until you put in your password. And I said, I hit the thing. I want an operator. Dial 2. Did you not hear? Put in your password or we cannot go any further. Now that's on the telephone. So I go back to the computer. And I'm on LifeLock on the computer. And I get on there and it says, okay, you need your name, or how it's listed. I put my name, Now your password. Okay? And so, only thing I need to do, Brother George, I never had anybody tell me password. So I go back and I look at when I start the computer up, you put a password in. So I put that password in there. And they said, this is not a valid password. There's a big red stuff jumps up. It's not a valid password. We can't deal with you. Here I'm trying to find out who's mucking with my account that they said was happening, and I can't even get to the people that said it was happening. Now watch me here. That's kind of funny. It's kind of stupid, but it is funny. You got anybody that's over 75 years old? Look at Joe sitting back there. He don't even know what end of the computer to look at. We don't care about the stupid computer. I don't care about the computer. You know what's exciting on my computer? I can play solitaire. That's it. The technology is scary. They said the other day that you could have a telephone sitting here, off, turned off. The new phones, it's off. Now, it's not on, it's off, you hear me? And they can still record everything you say. And the government's responsible for a lot of this mess. They want to know. That's what they're trying to do. The technology is uncomprehendable. So here you have this scenario where Jesus is very simply going to tell you, you need to be hot or you need to be cold. If you're not serious, get out and let somebody else have your seat. Now that sounds hard. Well, what about the young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him. And what did he do? He walked away sorrowfully. Jesus did not follow that man anywhere. You cannot make people come under the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You cannot exercise your will for them in your life, or we'd try to do it with our kids. It hasn't worked. I beat my kids when they were little half of their lifetime. Should have killed some of them probably. Amen. No. I'm saying, but they still choose for themselves. And rightly so. You can't go in with a family plan. You got to meet Jesus, just you and Him. And when you do, God will do great and mighty things in your life. So He talks about cold water. He talks about hot water. And then we get to the disgusting part that we talked about. You know, a while ago we used that old sorry word. Let me say something to you. He said lukewarmness is, first of all, it is dirty. It is filthy. It is tepid. That means the taste is terrible. Now you say, why? Because in all that travels through that pipe, when it got there, it was not what it was when it left the aqueduct. You cannot, watch me, you cannot be saved until you see you're wretched and blind and undone. You cannot get saved. Preacher said, come down and we'll say this prayer together. Hogwash. Hogwash. You cannot come down chewing your bubble gum, holding the devil with one hand and the preacher with the other, and go to heaven. You cannot do that. It has to be total commitment and trust to the Lord Jesus Christ and a reception of Him into your life. That meaning that you say, I surrender, here I am, do with me as pleasing in your sight. I must be washed clean. Do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? Yes. Well, you know we're sinners and we can't help it. That's the old Baptist anthem, ain't it? Well, preacher, you know I'm just a sinner. Yeah, and you need to get saved. You're just a sinner. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? You're trying to make me question my salvation. No, I want you to question yourself. I want you to ask yourself. But who do you love? Who do you want to serve with all of your heart? I think about these beautiful young ladies here. Years ago, I was preaching something along these lines, and two of these young ladies asked me if they could talk to me after service, and we went in the office and sat down. And they said, is it wrong, Brother Billy, for us to pray for the Lord to extend the time so that we might marry the love of our life and have children and raise our children at home and all, amen, amen. That young woman has 10 kids now. She might want to retract that prayer. Raising children is tough. You know what's wrong with our children today? We've turned them to the wind. We've let them go. If I see that lady in Temple, Texas, in a Walmart store right now, she's got three or four of her children already graduated from college. If I see her in a store, you know what she tells me every time I see her? She said, I think about those blessed days when we visited your home. And at night before we went to bed, we all got up in the middle of a king-size bed. And we all got around that bed, and we all sat on the edges and everything. And you read the Bible to us and asked us questions about what we believe, what you read. I'll never, she said, watch me, get over what happened on that king-size bed in those days. You know what your kids need? They need this book. Do you know what they need? They need fathers that will tell them the truth. Do you know why children's little tails are kind of rounded like this? It's to beat on. They're not to hit in the face, hit in the eye. God gave you a perfect target. They're to know right from wrong. Hurt makes them understand that you mean business. Now, should you do it in anger? No. But I'm going to tell you something. Children don't even know what a whooping is anymore. You know what my dad did? He was a mean rascal. You know what he did? We got whoopings with a razor strap. Now, I was born in 1942. Okay? That's back when people believed what they said they believed. Stood for what they said. I went in the military at the age of 60. I mean, not age 60, the year 1960. But until I left my home at 18 and a half years old, until I left home, that strap hung on the door. So that every time anybody opened the door and closed the door, the strap went. And I'd remember those good old days when Daddy wore my fanny out with that strap, even because I looked at him or I looked at Mama the wrong way. If I could look at Mama the wrong way, I was in bad shape. I mean, I couldn't even write a note to Miss Gloria. She was so sweet and pretty. I thought she was kind. Amen. I would slip her a note at church. And brother, my dad caught a glimpse of it. Writing in church? Writing in, hello? And he beat me for a week. I'll guarantee you much as I love that woman, I didn't send her any more notes. Amen. You say, why? Because it's wrong not to give the pastor the attention that God said to give him so that you can hear not the pastor of the church, but the Word of God. Somebody said, boy, if I could hear God talk, I'm doing the best I can. You say, what do you say? You're bragging. No, I'm saying, that's what God hath chosen. The foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. The foolishness of preaching to lead and direct our lives. So you have this scenario here, and I got to hurry because I'm out of time, amen. But I'm probably going to go back over a lot of this next Sunday. I can't help it, okay. But I want to give you 3 points, and I'll close. He tells us to buy. I've already quoted the verse, Isaiah chapter 51, chapter 55, verse 1, to exchange your wretchedness for His righteousness. You can exchange it. God will exchange your wretchedness for His precious righteousness. A while ago I said, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? Yes, you do. When God sees Billy Barho, He doesn't see what you're seeing. He sees the blood of Christ on my life. When He looks at me, I've been covered by the precious blood. You know, the churches say, man, you ought not to get into that slaughterhouse religion. Where's the life at? It's in the blood. Where do I get life? It's from His blood. When He sees me, He says the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who is He talking about? The death angel. The second death angel. Amen. When I see the blood, you can exchange your wretchedness for His righteousness. Second thing is, He talks about a white garment. What does white represent? It represents righteousness. What did they make there? And I didn't get into this, and I'll try to do it. I don't know what I'll do. Amen. I'll just wait and see what God says. They were known for their tremendous black wool that they developed or made in that country there. So what does black represent? It symbolizes filthiness and sin. Your sins are black before God. Somebody said, well, people down here at Houston, God bless them people, what they're going through. You have people that's never been born again. Some of them have, but some of them hadn't. They said they're praying to God. God's not hearing that prayer. Brother Billy, you mean, no, God doesn't hear that prayer. The only prayer that God hears from a lost person is that he's a wretch and he needs to be saved. You can't ask God to deliver somebody that's not his children. He made that very clear to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them other seeds. Amen. He made it very clear. You only one, as a Christian, have the ability to pray and God answer your prayers. The otherwise, you've got to be born again. So the second thing is they were proud of the fact that they made these garments out of black. They were proud of the fact that they had developed it. And yet they were stone blind to the principles that make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what you think about this church. It doesn't make any difference what you think about this preacher. It doesn't make any difference what you think about Brother Ed. It doesn't make any difference the Gail God. It doesn't make any difference what you think. It's what you think about Jesus Christ. Did he die for your sins or not? And the only way to be washed in the blood, to be born again, is to forget everything else. Somebody said, well, I would have come forward, but I was worried about what the people think. What the people think? Can you imagine I'm up here? Can you imagine what you are thinking right now about me? I can't imagine. You think that's going to bother me? No. Because why? Because I'm worried about what he thinks. He gave me this responsibility. These people had made this particular thing, and yes, it was beautiful to the eyes, but it was wretched to God. These garments, he wants to trade their black garments for his white garments, which represents wretched. And lastly, he tells them to buy eye salve so that they can see. If you don't see what I've talked about this morning, if you don't see the righteousness of God, if you don't see yourself as a reprobate before God, there's no hope for you. There is no hope for you. They were proud that they made this salve. They were proud that they made this clothing and stuff out of this black stuff. Blindness is a lack of understanding concerning spiritual truth. Do you know why Jesus taught in parables? Anybody know why Jesus taught in parables? He didn't want the unsaved person to know the principle that he was teaching. You say, why? Because of just what I just got finished saying. They just needed Jesus. They didn't need to know. They didn't need to interpret the Bible. Do you know you can get with the lost person? He'll say, well, I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says unless you hate your father and your mother and you hate your own wife, and you cannot be my disciple. He's talking about the comparison of the love that you have for your wife and other people as compared with the love that you have for him. George said this morning, he wasn't happy till he went to jail. You say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. No, that's where he preaches. Now he's happy there. Amen. Now I preached in jail for 4.5 years. I wasn't part of my bag. But God knew about a little old church out here in the country he wanted me to come to, and I don't know which is worse, the jail or here. Amen. You see this sign right here? Now you know, Zelma, don't you frown. You know you love me, and I know I love you. You know what this sign says? This little sign, it just ain't big enough. You don't need to drive me crazy. I'm close enough to walk. I'm going to get this thing made big. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, that woman right there, God has woken me up a million nights to pray for her. And there I am at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I'm weary. And there is a picture of her face. And God said, pray for her. And I want to say, why? No, if God touches your heart. Now, let me tell you something. What about a pastor? Some people say pastors don't really care. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And then God sent Brother Larry and Miss Naomi. You don't understand that, do you?
I'm telling you that God puts people on the pastor's heart. Do you know the one that talks about evangelists and pastors and this and that and the other and the scriptures? He's talking about all these things, the different ministries. Do you know the one that's at the top? The pastor. Some evangelists think they can come to the church and hit him a lick and get in his car and drive off. The pastor's got to stay there with them and see that they live those particular principles. I'm not against evangelists. I'm not against that stuff. But you know what? The pastorate. You need to pray for your preacher. You need to spend time. Spend time praying for your preacher. Bless God, he needs help. And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody asked me the other day, are you a preacher? And I said, some say yay, some say nay. And sometimes the nay is me saying, I'm not sure. You say, you're not sure God's called you to preach? Yes, I am. You were supposed to laugh right there or say amen or unk or something. Amen. But here's the thing. We need to see that blindness is the key of our repentance. Ask God to help you to see. God says several times in this particular verse, we might be turned from darkness unto light. We might have dominion overdo the dominion of the devil toward God. Let me say something to you. The problem is not with the old sorry people outside. The problem is in the church house. The key to revival is not outside. The key to revival is in the church house. Would we be willing to throw our heart's door open and say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you want to do, however you want to affect my life, help yourself. It's okay with me. I want to see God move. You know what? I used to read about John saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now, this was 2,000 years ago. And I used to read that verse, and I thought, well, I got a few things I want to do. I have some cows, and I like to see them calf, and really like to see them bring money when they go to the auction sale, and, you know, stuff like that. But I've gotten to where on day in and day out, I say, Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The world is not getting better. Now, I really believe this, and I'll close, that if America had worldwide evangelism, I'm talking about in America, if we had real revival, I believe it would extend the time before the tribulation period. But we don't see that happening. We see a collision course of our great country coming to an end as we know it. Now, some of you younger people have never known. When I went to high school, I had a blast in high school. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed chasing the girls. I enjoyed high school. I mean, I even enjoyed my classes. I did. I had a good time. I look forward to going to school. Man, I can't even believe the condition of our schools today. But it's not just our schools. But the devil wants the kids. Wants the kids. If he can get the kids, he don't care about us old knotheads. We'll die off after a while. So I prayed, Lord, even so, come quickly. I pray God to seal these truths to our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask you if you would to stand. Our pianist is going to play a verse or maybe two. Whatever God says to your heart, would you let him have his way? Whatever he says, not anything that I would impose on you or anybody else. But if you know today that if you died, you know that you'd go to heaven. You know that you're a child of God. Or you're not sure. We have these little altars down here. You can come down and bow down. God sees the sincerity of your heart. He'll answer your questions. If I need to, I can pray with you. If I need to show you some verses, I can show you some verses. But whatever God says, let him do it. Not Brother Billy, the Lord. It's that little, a small, still voice in your bosom. Where he takes his little finger, or his big finger, or whatever it is, and he kind of nudges you around and says, you know that's the truth. Why are you going to stand there? Why wouldn't you come open the door and let me in? The happiest thing after you get born again is to sup with the Lord Jesus and to have him sup with you. That's the greatest thing in life we could ever experience if you'll just let Him have His way in. Amen. I don't care if you're 95, 96 years old, or 6, whatever He says, just do it.